He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep yourself from being polluted with the world. If I were to hand you this water and say, this is good water here. This is 99.9% purified reverse osmosis water with ozonation, advanced filtration water. Probably best water you can buy right here. Huh, 99.9% pure. You say, well, what's in the other part of it? It says raw sewage. You want a drink? Just a little bit. I just took an eye droplet. It's not that much. It's not that much. It's an eye droplet of raw sewage. I got it right out of the sewage tanker next door. Just one drop. Take a sip. You won't even taste it. Come on. Taste it. You won't even taste it. You want some? You wouldn't even take it. And that's why God has to reject people that are not pure. Because he's so holy. The Bible says his eyes, he can't even look upon evil. He can't even look upon it. And the reason people think that they get away with sin is because they don't realize how holy God is. You know, let me give you an example of how holy God is. The scribes that used to write down the Bible from the when the prophets would speak, they'd have a scribe with them that would write everything down. There was a certain amount of lines that had to be on every page of paper. If the middle word of the copy wasn't the same as the original, they had to start the whole project over again. And every time they said God's most holy name, Yahweh, which is the great I Am, every time that they said the word Yahweh, they'd have to take their pen, they'd have to clean their pen, they'd have to go and take all their clothes off, wash their clothes, wash their bodies, and then they would have to go back and start to write again. If they said the word Yahweh, which is a great I Am, I am self-existing, past, present, future, forever, I am God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. If they said that word 10 times on one page, they would have to take their clothes off, cleanse themselves completely, wash their clothes, clean that pen, and then they go back and they start writing again. If it took them all day to write one page because they had to do that, that's what they had to do. Why they do that? Because the Jewish nation recognized that sin is terrible, and they recognize that we need to be holy and we need to honor and fear God. And what Satan does to take advantage of us Gentiles, what he does is he gets us to think, oh, that's Old Testament. He gets us to think God's grace is covered. God loves me. God does love you. He loves you enough to send Jesus for you. And he loves those who fear him. He loves those who obey him. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The love that he showed for them was on the cross. That's the love he has for them. That's all the love he's got for them until they repent. And that's more than enough love to empower the whole universe right there. Would you agree? Jesus on the cross, that's enough love for them. It says, the Bible says, to the pure, God shows himself pure. But to the wicked, he shows himself hostile. Literally translates a wrestler. He's going to contend with them. Don't mess with God. You're messing with God. You're gonna mess with a hostile God against him because you're being wicked. It's not a good place to be. They treat my people's wound as if it were not serious. We don't want to treat the sin as if it's not serious. It's serious business. We want to have genuine repentance like Ezra. I encourage you to go read the book of Ezra. Go home and read it. Especially chapters... Let me just take a look here. Read 7 through 10 and check on how God views the intermarriage. He hates it. You know, I have literally, listen to this, I have witnessed to people who are married to each other And they don't even, when I witness to one of them, he's got to ask the other one what they believe. They don't even know what their own spouse's religion is. That's how spiritually stupid people have become. And that's the right translation, because when he said a people's heart has become calloused, I showed you it in the Greek, it means stupid. That's how spiritually stupid sin can make people, that they marry someone and don't even take a second thought of what their religion is. They don't even care. How ridiculous can that be? Amen? That's how God thinks about it. So let's avoid sin. He told us to remind each other daily, he says, about this. So it's, I only see you guys a few times a week. It's okay, I could preach about this. I'd rather teach about the seven steps to answered prayer or righteousness or, you know, how much God loves you or something. But until we get this in us strong enough, some of you coming out of a doctrine that's so damnable, that's so far in your spirit, that I tell you this over and over. And even though you look at the scriptures, your mind still wants, as soon as you see a scripture on grace, you still want to jump over on that side where it's not safe. That's how Jesus called us, somebody puts a stumbling block. It's a doctrine that they may or may not recover of. Matthew 18. It's a damnable thing. It's a heresy. It causes people to do things unconsciously because they think that it's okay. So I get a hold of them and I preach the truth to them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everybody just bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. I just ask you, Lord, to move upon every heart right now. Father, move upon them right now by your Spirit, and I pray that you would expose all darkness in our hearts. If there's anything, Father, small or large, that we need to get straightened out with you, I pray, Father, you'd expose it and bring it to the forefront of their spirits, their hearts, right now. And we thank you, Father, you are a gracious and compassionate God, full of mercy, with an everlasting love, with loving kindness you've drawn us, Lord. You're a merciful God. You're quick to forgive. You're always ready to instantly forgive those who come to you with their whole hearts, Lord. I just want everybody to just, you know, he says, come near to me, I'll come near to you. A lot of times people will renew their marriage vows after 10, 20, 30 years. And it's just a step closer, a refreshing, and a rededication of a husband and a wife to each other. And our relationship with God is equal to a marriage-type covenant. I want everybody to just say these words from your heart. Say, God, I judge myself. So I don't have to be judged. Lord, you said in your word that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. Lord, you said, if I walk in the light as you are in the light, we have fellowship with each other. Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to have that intimate, pure relationship with you as my Lord and Savior, as my God, as my Master. I ask you now to please forgive me for all of my sins. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I make a decision today to turn from all known sin to follow him. I thank you that you walk with me. And as I walk in the light and the illumination and understanding of the word that I know, your grace covers me. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace covers my weaknesses. But your grace is not a license to sin. Your grace is an empowerment. Your grace is a strength. to have the victory in Christ over all known sin. Father, we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You
know, this is, he just brought this revelation in my spirit. He wants me to talk about this, but you know, when some people like to wait for some sovereign God to do some kind of revival. They think God's just going to rain out of heaven, some kind of revival is going to happen. But revival is a field that's sown. As we sow seed of prayer, there has to come a harvest. It's got to come. Whether it's before the rapture or not, the revival has to come. But listen to this. I grew up on the farm. I worked on the farm for 10 years. I worked 40, 50, 60 hours a week all through high school. From the time I was 13 till the I worked on the farm for a long time for my uncle. And when it was harvest time, you know it was coming, and you're thinking, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. I don't want to be working 80-90 hours a week. I don't want to be working 80-90, because that's what it is, literally. You work 80-90, 100. I can remember working over 100 hours in a week. I think the most I ever worked is like 116 hours in a week. You just live at work. And but the thing is, you think, well, I want to be out there doing other things. But the thing is, when you get into the groove of bringing in the harvest, there's an excitement that builds, and all of a sudden you get in the mode. And I'm telling you right now, it just, all of a sudden you get in there and you're glad you're bringing the harvest in. You'd have to have a certain size tractor. You couldn't have a tiny tractor because the wagons that we pulled with the haylage, some of them were hold 30,000 pounds. And if that tractor is too small, that wagon's so heavy, it would. If you stop, that tractor get pushed all over the place. Amen. Now they do it. They don't do it with tractors anymore. They do it with semis. Amen. It's a faster way to bring in the harvest. There's an excitement. When you get involved in bringing in the harvest, there's an excitement that builds. But the harvest is out there. It's ready. So just start witnessing to everybody you have an opportunity. Just start talking to them. Every time I walk past somebody on the sidewalk, I try to witness to them. Every single time. I just made a habit. I don't care. I'm going to witness to everybody. That's what I want to do. That's my goal. Every once in a while, I miss one. But most of the time, I just talk to everybody. That's the best way to do it. And when you start bringing in that harvest, even though some people are going to be mean to you, I had one kid the other day, he got pretty mean to me, said some terrible things to me. As I was trying to witness to another group, the devil just inspired him to come up and start mocking me right there. I mean, he said some terrible things about me. You're talking to a man of God. So I said to him, I said, I am a man of God. So you don't talk to people that way. He said, get away from me. I said, don't talk to me that way. And I just backed off and I went just like nothing ever happened. And he was so convicted that later on he was hanging around me. He never said another word. I mean, who has the audacity to come? He knows I'm a pastor. Who has the audacity to come and mock a pastor and stop him from doing the work of God? How satanic you got to be? Something got to be wrong with you. I can never in my life imagine ever doing that, even in my worst sinner days. Could you? That's what I'm saying. These people, you need to let them know that that's not okay. You know. But you're bringing in the harvest. So, I got one little kid. He got born again, and the others, before I knew it, the same people that weren't listening before. All of a sudden, I just kept hanging around there, and all of a sudden, there was a move of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, all of them started bombarding me with questions about God. And I'm thinking, just 10 minutes ago, none of them want to talk to me. And now I'm talking, and the one kid's going, are you reading my mind? He's like, you're answering all my questions. It's prophecy. I mean, speaking to these people. And they're all listening and say, I don't want to go to hell. I said, well, you're going to have to go if you don't repent. They said, is this a sin? They started asking me out. They wanted to know. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be liberated from their sin. They had questions. See? That's bringing in the harvest. Did they get born again? Well, I don't. In Cornelius, it says he got born again in his heart. You don't always know. They may go home and repent. I mean, you plant. He said one plants, another waters. He says, but God makes it grow. God gives the increase. Amen. So let's go bring in the harvest and just live a holy, pure life. Pray in tongues. 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 Pray, pray, pray. If you're involved in a deliberate sin, you know you shouldn't be doing it. You think, I can't pray anymore. No, the first thing you should do is say, God, I don't want to do this. You said the Holy Spirit, help me to pray. And then say, help me to pray about this, God. And then pray in tongues, and he'll pray it. If he sees your heart is towards him, saying, I want to repent, but I can't do it quite yet because my flesh has got a hold of me. And you keep praying. He says, okay, I'll walk with you then. Flesh creature, I'm going to walk with you. It's the same thing with any other kind of weakness. Doubt, worry, fear, say, help me to pray about it. The Word of God. Meditate the Word day and night. It's His Word that we hide in our heart. Amen? The Word. Pray in tongues, read the Word fast. But remember, none of that's going to save you, but what it is going to do, it may keep you saved. Because you mortify enough of the flesh. He said, it's by the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. You live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you'll live. Romans 8:13. Hallelujah. The best thing is, if you are involved in a sin that you know you shouldn't be doing, is to tell God, acknowledge to God and say, I know I shouldn't be doing this. If you say, God, I know I shouldn't be doing this, then you get His attention. He says, what's that? You're admitting you're wrong. And then you say, I don't know what to do about it. I'm caught up in this thing now. Help me to pray. I want to be free, but I don't want to stop doing it right now, and I don't know what's going on. And if you start praying in tongues, He'll walk with you because He's got your ear, because you at least acknowledge that this is sin. Okay, this is darkness. I can't be doing this. Then He'll start to pay attention to you.